Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Trying to make sure we get the right one. Canto 4, chapter 19, teach number 3. Yep?
3.
That's it. Yatshad Jagyapati Shakshad
Yatrayam Yamati Shakshad
Bhagavan Hari Ishwaraha
Bhagavan Hari Ishwaraha
Anhavyatha Sarvatma
Anhavyatha Sarvatma
Sarvaloka Guru Prabhu
Sarvaloka Guru Prabhu
Cha Jagyapati Shakshal Bhagavan Hari Ishvara
Bhagavan Hari Ishvara
Anva Bhuyata Sarvatma
Anva Bhuyata Sarvatma
Sarva Loka Guru Prabhu
Sarva Loka Guru Prabhu
Yatra Jagyapati Shakshal
Yatra Jagyapati Shakshal
Bhagavan Hari Ishvara
Bhagavan Hari Ishvara
Anvabhayata Sarvatma
Anvabhayata Sarvatma
Sarva Loka Guru Prabhu
Sarva Loka Guru Prabhu
Yatra
Yatra
Where?
Where?
Jagyapati,
Jagyapati,
the enjoyer of all sacrifices,
sacrifices.
Sakshat,
directly,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Hari,
Lord Vishnu,
Ishvara,
the Supreme Controller,
Anvabhuyata,
became visible. Sarva Atma, the super soul of everyone. Sarva Loka Guru,
the master of all planets,
or teacher of everyone.
Prabhu,
the proprietor. Is it possible we can move this incense outside? It's hard for me to speak. Yeah, it's sort of choking. What's that?
I was thinking of putting it off.
Yeah, thinking. It's nice incense, but it's the smoke itself. Yes. I'm gulping for air as I'm speaking. I'll just read this translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, and he is the proprietor of all planets and the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. He was personally present at the sacrifices made by King Bhrigu. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Sakshat is significant. Prithvi Maharaj was a Shaktavesh avatar, incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Actually, Prithvi Maharaj was a living entity, but he acquired specific powers from Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, however, is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus belongs to the category of Vishnu Tattva. Maharaj Prithu belonged to the Jiva Tattva. The Vishnu Tattva indicates God whereas the Jiva Tattva indicates the part and parcel of God. When God's part and parcel is especially empowered, he is called Shaktivesh Avatar. Lord Vishnu is herein described as Hari Ishvara. The Lord is so kind that he takes all miserable conditions away from his devotees. Consequently, he is called Hari. He is described as Ishvara because he can do whatever he likes. He is the supreme controller. The supreme Ishvara, Purushottama, is Lord Krishna. He exhibits his powers as Ishvara, or the supreme controller, when he assures his devotee in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear." He can immediately make his devotee immune from all the reactions caused by sinful life if the devotee simply surrenders unto him. He is described herein as Sarvatma, meaning that he is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, and as such, he is the supreme teacher of everyone. If we are fortunate enough to take the lessons given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, our lives immediately become successful. No one can give better instructions to human society than Lord Krishna. So here, this is the description of a very ancient historical pastime within the universe, where King Prithi Maharaj was performing 100 horse sacrifices. So the horse sacrifice means that that's where you let the horse roam, and wherever the horse roams, which it roams all over the earth, they get the best horse, they just roam everywhere, then if they allow that horse to roam, then they're indicating that yes, King Prithu, who is performing this horse sacrifice, we submit to him as the King of Kings, the Supreme King on this planet. If they don't want to accept, because, why? Because he is representing the personality of Godhead fully, above all others, Shaktivesh Avatar. Just like in our society, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master accepted that such personalities as Lord Jesus and Muhammad, personalities like this were Shaktivesh Avatars. No one can do what such personalities have done. They've given religious principles that are very appropriate for the time, place and circumstance and certain personalities, and which because the scriptural injunctions, not everyone can follow the highest, purest spiritual process all of a sudden. So sometimes persons empowered by the Lord can understand exactly what persons of their time can follow to make good advancement. It's not too much and it's not too little, and it's so perfect that it will be followed for thousands of years. So, they are Shaktivesh Avatar. So Prithi Maharaj was like this. So before Jesus, before Buddha, before Muhammad, Before all these personalities, there's Preeti Maharaj, and in fact, all of those personalities, Muhammad, Jesus, they are following the principles set down by personalities such as Preeti Maharaj. Some of these original Saptavaishnava avatars. You know, we know that Jesus didn't invent his own religion. He just took the cream of it, the essence of it, simplified it. You know, made it a little less ritualistic and more coming from the heart, you know, the essential factors that where one is focusing on loving God. And at the same time, putting into place certain restrictions, knowing that there are some particular sinful activities going on that really have to stop. you know, just like Muhammad also, you know, he said, you know, from this time on, there'll be no more sex with your mother, your grandmother, your sisters. So that sinful activity was going on. So he added that from this time on, that must finish. Yeah. Because it's a great impediment in spiritual life. So, but these are Saptavaishnava avatars. And Preeti Maharaj was a Saptavaishnava avatar. So in this horse sacrifice, they let the horse run free, and everyone understands, oh, here's this great personality, yes. We're very happy to come under his shelter. He's a great personality, directly representing the personality of Godhead. And if they protest and say, no, we're gonna, we don't want religion at all, or you know, we're going to make up our own religion or what have you, then they'll try and stop that horse or what have you. He cannot come into our country. We're not going to come under his subjugation. So, now, to perform one of these, it's very rare. There's very few people who have ever done one. You know, over thousands of years. You know, thousands of years. And someone may do one. Yudhisthira Maharaj did three. And then, that was Rajasuya. He did Rajasuya. Yeah. So very hard to do. If one can do 100, then they're definitely, minimum, if they want to, they can take the pose of Indra. So of course Indra, we can understand, you know, to become Indra, very, very pious, the piety that one has accrued over many, many lifetimes is very significant, very rare. You know, to become even a king or a ruler and to hold that power for a long time on this earth planet is very rare. What to speak of in the heavenly planets. And Prabhupada said, you know, once that Queen Elizabeth was one of the most pious persons on the planet because, you know, for her ability to just rule for so long, unobstructed, and so much loved, like that. That long life. He said, you know, she's very attractive. She's a really long life. Room like this. So this King Preeti, he's performing 100 of these sacrifices. Now we see from the previous verse that Indra is already disturbed. That he's become envious. That no one sure, you know, I have my nice position, my nice facility, and he wants to put a stop to it. So he's envious, jealousy. Anyway, so this is the pastime that is happening. King Preeti. And at that sacrifice, Lord Vishnu, the super soul, he, or the personality of Godhead, He has directly appeared. So this is, you know, this is very, very rare even for such personalities, you know, such as Jesus and Muhammad and so many different personalities. For the personality of Godhead to directly come as a result of their activities of, service to the Lord. So he has directly come. Now this, here it describes here a little bit. So this Prithvi Maharaj, he belongs to the category of Jivatattva. So principally, the personality of Godhead has three different, he has unlimited potencies, but you can, categorize him into three primarily. He has the spiritual energy by which manifests the spiritual reality and the spiritual world in which the personality of Godhead and all the living entities live. There, it is considered, all the associates of the Lord are considered expansions of Krishna. Krishna is completely spiritual, and in the Brahma Samhita, it is considered that they are all expansions of Krishna, because they are expansions of his spiritual energy. And then, apart from the spiritual energy, in the spiritual realm with all its spiritual variety, then we have the material energy. This material energy is like the shadow potency or the reflection of the spiritual realm. That's called Maya. So it's an energy in itself which is controlled by the personality of Godhead, but it's meant to, for those who want to not exist within the absolute reality, but create some illusory existence where we are somewhat completely independent from the personality of Godhead. So that's the nature of this material world. So we can, you know, we can stay here and we can pretend that we don't have a relationship with anything except the few things we want to. That's the nature of this world. You know, it's a complete illusion on every level, even materially. It's a complete illusion. You know, to feel that we're just, you know, we're dependent upon the government. We're dependent upon our mothers and fathers. We're dependent upon our teachers. We're dependent upon the the sun and the moon. We're dependent upon the earth to stand on, the air to breathe, all the elements which we haven't created. We're dependent upon the universe being exactly giving us the sun at the right distance and coming up and going down and creating the various seasons. And we're dependent upon the universe. Everything within the universe. We may not realize it, but we're dependent upon such planets like Jupiter and Saturn. Those planets, they gather up all the missiles, which are some as big as this Earth, which are floating around in space, and they stop them from smashing into us. Otherwise, they'd be just flying around, so many comets and huge, it'd be smashing into the Earth constantly. But those planets, they just keep them at a distance. They keep them in a certain part of the. We're dependent upon so many things. We're dependent upon the system of the medical system set up by the governments. We're dependent upon the army. We're dependent upon the police force. We're dependent upon our neighbours. There's a saying. If my neighbour's fence down, if my neighbour's fence burns down, it means my fence is burning down. You look, the neighbour's fence is burning down. Oh, that's his problem. Well, hang on, that's my I don't live on this side of the fence. So anyway, we're starting to find that now. Just like, you know, people throw their rubbish in the ocean. Oh, that's okay. That's, you know, that's their problem. Trouble is, it's, you know, we're then eating that, or the, you know, people are eating that in the form of, you know, the fish and, you know, this and the birds, and it's ending up in our milk and it's ending up in our water, like this. So actually, we're, you know, we're not independent. So, it's, but this material world is like that, that, you know, we feel not only independent within here, but we have no relationship with the spiritual reality. This is fine for us. So that is Krishna's material energy, and he controls that. And there are three modes of material nature which bewilder everyone. There's sattva, where one has knowledge. Then there's rajas, where one has a mixture of knowledge and ignorance. And there's tamas, where there's complete ignorance. Right? And because of those modes, we can't see anything. So, say we have some knowledge that you see in this world. You know, people think, "Oh, if I have this intoxication, I'm going to this dance. Someone's passing out these little orange pills. I've heard that some people have died, so I'm definitely not going to have them." So then they get there and, you know, the dancing and things, and then desires come into their heart, or I really want to enjoy like everyone else. So when that desire, that's rajas, you know, and when that desire comes, one can no longer see the danger. Oh, little orange pill, what can it possibly do? In it goes. Next minute, fighting the lie. So, you know, here is the water. You know, the ocean. Oh, you know, there could be sharks, could be, you know, those blue bottle stingrays, crabs that bite your toes, you know, ribs that drag you out. Oh, it's a lovely day. I really want to enjoy it. I'm just going in anyway. So, we have some knowledge, but as soon as we have some desire in our heart, our knowledge is covered. And if we become really frustrated that we have really strong desires and they're not being fulfilled, then we become really frustrated, really angry, then we just completely forget everything. Everything that any intelligent thought we've ever had in this life, any intelligent thing that anyone has ever said to us, you know, all the warning signs that are there, it means nothing. I'm really angry now that I've got to enjoy it like that. So these are the modes. And what happens is you can't see anything, let alone you can't see what's right in front of your face. Even if people are yelling in your ear, "Don't do it, don't do it," you still can't see. Big signs up, can't see. And the most subtle of all subtle things to see is the spiritual platform. That cannot be seen. You know, the soul, what to speak of the super soul. Very, very subtle. So these modes of material nature, that is Krishna's material energy, and that is bewildering everyone so that they can't see the spiritual reality. Then the third energy, so we have the spiritual energy, the material energy, which is like the shadow of spiritual existence, or a reflection, like a mirage. And then we have the living entity, which is also spiritual by nature, has the same quality as Krishna, as the personality of Godhead. But because the jiva is very, very tiny, just a little spiritual, little spirit soul, little spirit star. And therefore, that little spirit soul is neither the controller of the entire spiritual energy or of the material energy. That little spirit soul, that is us, we can be, you know, covered, we can be come under the protection of the spiritual energy by the grace of Krishna, Or we can become under the clutches, as Prabhupada said, the clutches of the material energy, which the laws are very stringent. It's a good word, that, isn't it? Stringent. Means that they hold fast. If you touch fire, it will burn. And one may think, little child doesn't know that it's a fire. Surely the material energy won't be so harsh in, those rules and regulations, those laws. Little child, let them touch fire, play. No? Child touches fire. Little moth, little insect, what do they know? They don't know, but no. They're attracted to the fire, in the fire, burn, like that. Very stringent, like that. So the living entity can be under the material energy or the spiritual energy. So Prithi Maharaj is a living entity, but he's Shaktivoshavata empowered, fully empowered by the personality of Godhead to perform some particular service for the benefit of the entire world. Shaktivoshavata. Now it's considered that Srila Prabhupada is also Shaktivesh, that his activities are unprecedented. Basically, Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita and he teaches everyone these instructions that if we try to enjoy in this material world, the stringent laws of material nature will force us to accept a karmic reaction for all our activities, and we will be forced to take birth to get those karmic reactions. That is the stringent law. As soon as we have a little desire to enjoy something, anything in this world, tiny little desire, and we act on that, then that's another birth. Yeah. So, Master Vishnu explained that, when you go shopping and there's all these really wonderful things, jewels and clothing, fashion clothing, cost you thousands. And if you look at it, somewhere, you really have to go up close and there's a little tag there, a tiny little tag like that, and on that tag is a big price. So they don't show you that tag, they try and hide it. They just try and get you to look at it. You want that? You want that? It's yours. Come get it. But then when you look, big price. So, in this world, it's like that. Every desire we want to fulfill, there's a little tag there. And this will cost you two lives more in this material world. But this one, you want that? 100 lifetimes. To work off that karma. And if it's bad karma, therefore, Krishna teaches in the Gita that don't follow that. The art of work is to, as Prabhupada says, how to catch the fish without getting wet. So we have some fish in our fish pond. Because we don't eat the fish. We're not trying to eat them, but we have to catch some to put them in there. So, how to catch the fish without getting wet. Or how to utilize fire without getting burnt. So the Bhagavad Gita teaches us the art of work, that if we, in this world, utilize everything in this material world and see it as the property of the personality of Godhead, it's his energy, and we utilize it for his pleasure to help everyone, it means to help everyone on the spiritual path out of the cycle of birth and death. That's the main thing that we can do that's helpful to people. That solves all your problems. Then, that person, if they surrender to Krishna and take up performing any little activity that they can that's pleasing to the personality of Godhead, then Krishna takes away all their karma. So it's described here the Krishna, he's the we understand that the super soul, which is a form of Krishna, who helps us in the material world. When we come to this material world, Krishna expands as the super soul, and he sits within the heart of every living entity, gradually helping them to fulfill their desires, if that's what they want, to be independent, but also he's helping them to gradually go back to the spiritual world. But the original form is Krishna. And Krishna, he is the supreme controller. He can do whatever he wants. So if he says that, you know, if you come to me, I will remove all your karma, he can do that. No one else can. Actually, only Krishna can. So, even Prithvi Maharaj, although he's a Shaktivesh avatar, he understands that his power is derived, his ability to do what he is doing is actually derived from the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, like all great acharyas, Jesus and Muhammad, whatever Jesus did, he gave credit to his father, God. Jesus didn't take credit that I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It's all being done by the grace of the Supreme God, Krishna. Krishnas. And Srila Prabhupada also, he gave credit to the personality of Godhead. Now, generally, it's described here that no one can give better instructions than Krishna himself. He created the material world. He knows how we got tangled up in here, and he knows how we can get out, and he can release us. And he gives that instruction. Rather than act in this world, you know, for the satisfaction of this body, as we've done for life after life after life in so many species of life, and yet, despite millions of lives trying to satisfy the body that we take birth in, we've never found satisfaction. And in this life, we could spend another life just living for the satisfaction of the senses, of the body and the mind, and at the end of it, we'll not find satisfaction, nor anyone that we've helped in their sense gratification, they will not be satisfied with this either. And mind, we will not be satisfied with ourselves, and no one will be satisfied. That is it. But if we take this one life, Prabhupada would say, just give this one life. So many millions of lives you had. So many millions of lives to come. Give this one. Give one life. You know, when I first heard that, I thought, well, you know, give your whole life, you know, it's like, that's a lot. You know, give your whole life, you know, to... And then, you know, when you realize that over millions and millions of lives, this, you know, one life and then back to the spiritual world, it's nothing. So, so Krishna is the supreme teacher because he's giving that instruction in Bhagavad Gita. You can read so many scriptures in the world, but the wonderful thing about the Gita is the main things that you need to know are there. That's the difference. That if you take all religious scriptures of this world and you list all the main things that are in there, that's in the Gita. Everything you'll find, all the pearls of wisdom, spiritual wisdom that you'll find in any scripture in the world, that's in the Gita, without exception. But more. But still, it's just the essence that you need to know. So, Krishna, he has a, because he's the personality of Godhead, here you see, Prithvi Maharaj is performing this, you know, spiritual activity, this Ashwamedha Yagya, and the personality of Godhead has decided to personally appear. So you see his kindness, he's very, very friendly, very personal. You know, sometimes when you have some special event, you know, when people are getting married, you know, and you see the people travel from all over the world, and they feel, you know, for one day, someone has flown, you know, from Canada to be at my wedding for a couple of hours, and then they've got to fly back. And you feel that's really personal. You see, when I do these hair-cutting ceremonies for the children, they're like 6 months, 9 months old, you get 150 people. And they fly over from India, they fly from America, I've seen. And you get 150 people, they fly, people have come from all over Australia, all over the world, to watch this little kid get the first haircut. And that's personal, isn't it? That's the sort of relatives and friends you want. You don't want the sort of relatives you're really sick, you're practically dying. Another phone call, you know, there's no nice, you know, pumpkin soup. No one there. Oh, he's sick, no benefit to me. So he very, very personal. He loves his devotees. You know, when someone does that sort of thing, you know that they love you. So one of the ways that Krishna shows his love is that he gets his devotees to teach the instructions of the Gita, and then he glorifies them because he wants them. Because here you see that Prithvi Maharaj, he's going to perform this ceremony, and the nature of this world, everyone, every single person to take birth in this world, you have to be envious. To actually take birth in this world, there has to be envy. To one degree or another, everyone in this world has envy. That when someone else makes advancement, or someone is enjoying something we would have liked to enjoy, you know, someone is in the position we would have liked to have that position. Someone is in the center of attention I would have liked to bring in that center of attention. Someone has this fame, the wealth, whatever. I would have liked that. So we can become. Therefore, you see that the biggest business, apart from weapons, in this world is magazines and television, etc., where you set people up on a pedestal as great famous personalities, and then you pick at them until they you hound them day and night to look for faults. Okay? And then you put it in a magazine, you sell it because people will read it. You know, if you can find the fault in any person who's attained some little higher success in it, you will get millions of dollars. You know, if you can get a photo of them, you know, maybe they're picking their nose in public or something, $1 million. Oh, it's supposed to be, you know, perfect. You just look like an ordinary human being to me. $1 million for you, give me that photo. Splash it in all the papers, front page. Envy. You know, people are making money off our envy. But Krishna's not like that. God's not like that. He wants us to enjoy everything he has, the entire spiritual realm. He wants to just share it with us equally. In fact, he's so loving that he will put us in a higher position than himself. So, Vishnu, this expansion of Krishna, has appeared in Maharaj Prithu's sacrifice, and he's demonstrating this nature. So, the nature of Krishna is that he empowers his devotees to teach people about Krishna consciousness through the Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna glorifies them all over the world. So that's And what Krishna is saying here is that he's not envious of anyone. Anyone. So he gives that instruction. Anyone. Anyone in this planet, anyone in this universe, if you become friendly to Krishna, Krishna is saying, you become friendly to me, I will completely take away all your karmic reactions immediately. Imagine that. Persons who are, you know, involved in millions of lifetimes of so much, you know, some very heavy, you know, nasty business that we do in this world. Krishna says, forget about it. And whatever problems you have, they're gone. No qualification. You don't need any qualification. He's not saying, he doesn't put any qualification. If you want that, I'll immediately give it. I'll immediately forget everything you've done. Immediately then, and I'll give you instruction as a super soul within your heart how to go back to Godhead. And what Krishna does is he sends one to the spiritual master, the pure devotees, who Krishna glorifies. He gives them the ability. Whatever Krishna wants to do, he'll say, no, I will let my devotee do what I would do, I'll let my devotee do that. And that will get the glory. So we see that, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself. He appeared 500 years ago and he understood, as Krishna appearing again, Krishna understood 5,000 years ago I spoke Bhagavad Gita, and you know, practically no one is able to follow it. You know, such an easy thing. You just, you know, you try and think of me, you know, offer your obeisances, offer a little fruit of prayer, and no one can do it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Krishna himself, he said, I will come and give an easy process and show them how it's done. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us how to understand the Bhagavad Gita and how to purify our hearts by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And again, he made it very clear that especially this process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, taking prasada, dancing, it is so powerful and it is so simple that anyone can do. So here, Prithvi Maharaj is performing this Ashwamedha Yajna 100 times. Now we wouldn't be able to do that. We can't even afford to keep a horse. We couldn't feed a horse for a week. We're going to send it all over the world and everyone's going to bow down to us. Follow us. But everyone can chant Hare Krishna. Very easy. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna. And so in other words, one may think that I don't have the qualification to be very elevated on the spiritual path because, you know, I'm not a very scholastic person, I'm not very well read, I don't have... I don't know Sanskrit, I can't chant the mantras, I don't know the rituals and so many different things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said there's no qualification. You just chant Hare Krishna, and if you learn how to chant, you know, in a sincere and serious way, not an offensive way, then that is the only qualification. And Srila Prabhupada, he taught us that, the only, he summed it all up, he said, basically, if one wants to see, one should have this desire that in this lifetime, I will see face to face the personality of Godhead. This is Prithvi Maharaj did. And Prabhupada said that, and some of his purpose, that we should have that desire, that in this life, I will see face to face the personality of Godhead. I see him directly and speak to him directly. That's a big statement. that we should have that desire. Of course, you know, the desire of the devotee in wanting to see the personality of Godhead is for the purpose of, you know, just offering, you know, their loving service to the Lord. But if a devotee, even they're qualified to see the personality of Godhead face to face, their true aspiration is just to serve the Lord with love. And to associate with the devotees, to chant Hare Krishna, you know, to sing the holy name of the Lord with love. The devotee's only aspiration is that in this life, my whole life will be filled, that in a my heart filled with transcendental love. Transcendental love means it's pure. It has nothing to do with the body enjoying anything in this world or the mind. It has to do just pure love for the personality of Godhead, all his spiritual associates, and all the living entities in this world. That my heart being filled, overflowing like an ocean. Imagine that. That the heart is overflowing with an ocean of love at every moment. And in that mood, you're just singing and dancing and feasting and glorifying the personality of Godhead. And one may think, so how will everything go on? The Christian says, it's okay. There's no karmic reaction that will, you know, affect you. You'll not be forced or obliged to do anything else. And I will maintain you. All your other problems are gone. So that's the desire of the devotee. And if the personality of Godhead, of course the devotees, you always want to see that person who is the most beloved. If the devotees get to see the Lord face to face, or go back to Godhead, that will be wonderful. But that's up to Krishna. They're not demanding it. But to make that spiritual progress where one is completely free from all the material desires and contaminations in this world, and just for the heart to be spotless, to be transcendentally situated in this lifetime, two qualifications, probably. One has to just be sincere and serious. Serious means that I don't want anything else. Now, I'm really serious about this. You know, you see when a baby cries for the mother, they're serious. You know, when the baby wants a mother, you give him a rattle, not interested, go away. The baby kicks their legs, tries to throw them down. You know they're serious, they just want the mother. They're very serious. So when we have that sense, we just want to serve Krishna. And sincere. You know, sincere means that you know, we're not trying to make it do something falsely for a show. They're very serious and very sincere. If you really want it, you really want it, that's basically it. If you want it, that's the only qualification. And that person, and therefore Rupa Goswami says that to get that anxiety that I must serve, you know, the personality of Godhead, if that anxiety to serve and love Krishna is available somewhere in the marketplace, you purchase that at any price. So that is the thing that's lacking in this world. No one has even a spark. In this world, no one has a spark. You know, the ones who spend billions of dollars on, you know, weapons, and, you know, they want so much, you know, sense gratification, they want land, they want money, they want fame, they want this. To find a little spark in someone's heart that, you know, I'll do something out of love for the personality of Godhead, is not there. But if someone has that full anxiety, that I can't rest You know, you see the devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, you know, and just that, you know, although he was 80 years old, you can see that anxiety to serve Krishna, that, you know, after 2 or 3 hours sleep, that's enough. So much I want to do to Krishna. And that, you know, body sometimes riddled with pain and fatigue. That's okay. There's so much I want to do with Krishna. You know, you can see that anxiety, that strong desire. Nothing will stop me. Because on the spiritual platform, there is no material qualification. And if a person just wants that Krishna consciousness, there is no material impediment. There's only impediments on the spiritual platform when there's some material motivations. So that desire to serve Krishna, to attain Krishna consciousness, that is the only qualification. Of course, Rupa Goswami goes on to say, you know, one may think, oh yes, that anxiety, oh, I have too much of that as well. That's it, I have too much of that anxiety. But so sometimes you see people, you know, do some fanatical, you know, like a shooting star, you know, that all of a sudden they take the spiritual life and sort of all of a sudden they shoot to the top and they, you know, you see them, you know, bashing people on the head with the scriptures and standing on the streets and, you know, making a big noise and, you know, becoming the big evangelistic preacher. You know, and 2 months later they're back to the same old, same old. Okay. But that, you know, sometimes we see it sometimes at festivals, you know, when there's hundreds and hundreds of people watching, then everyone wants to do this particular service where everyone is, you know, they're right there and everyone will see me doing that particular service. And then, you know, all the hundreds of people go and then you're thinking, so there's so much service to be done, there's no one to be found. that anxiety, you know, is not there, it's gone. You know? So, Rupa Goswami says, you know, although that's the prize, that sincerity, that eagerness to serve Krishna, you will get that after many, 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 many lifetimes of pious activities. Then that will come. Many, 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 many lifetimes of pious activities, actually that desire comes. So therefore, this is one of the things that the Guru teaches, that one may have a little spark of desire. Yes, Krishna is saying that if I surrender unto him in this life, I can be happy on the spiritual platform. You can see the person out of COVID and go back to the spiritual world. If there's a little spark there, then what the spiritual master teaches is that how to just engage in pious activities, and that counteracts the impious activities. In fact, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra counteracts impious activities performed over many, many, many millions of lifetimes, practically. The taking of prasadam and the hearing, just like we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're hearing this Bhagavatam, even in this one class, it will counteract impious activities over many, many lifetimes. And the piety one accrues, you cannot imagine. You might think, if I give, you know, good quality cows to, you know, qualified people who deserve them, or money, or open hospitals, you know, and look after the poor and the needy, you know, and spend billions of dollars on that, it does not equal even a fraction of the merit attained just by sitting and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here in the reading the verses of the Gita, chanting the holy name, associating with the devotee, doing something to save for Krishna. So this Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives the opportunity that there's unlimited scope where one can engage only in the spiritual pious activities that completely counteracts. And as one does that, you see that that eagerness on the spiritual path comes, and the desires for everything on the material platform, they disappear. That eagerness. Because, but without that pious activity, if one continues in impious activities, that eagerness will never come. That strong desire. And especially, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, eating meat, they're the pillars. They're the main principles of sinful life. If one can actually avoid those, practically you can avoid everything. But those activities, if one engages in those impious activities, that determination, that eagerness on the spiritual path just will not manifest. But if one can forego those things and develop that eagerness in association with devotees, then that is... So this we learn from the spiritual master. So actually, therefore our only qualification is actually to take shelter of the spiritual master, take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's teachings through his books, to take shelter of and Srila Prabhupada's teaching perfectly, exactly what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. So that is the only qualification required. In other words, otherwise, one should consider oneself a fool before the spiritual master. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he demonstrated that principle. That when he approached his spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, the great scholar, but he approached his spiritual master. His spiritual master said, "I see that you are a fool. Do not bother with this, trying to study all the Vedas and the Sanskrit and the Vedanta and so many things. Just chant Hare Krishna." So, on the spiritual path, if the spiritual master, this is surrender, if the spiritual master says you're a fool, then on the spiritual path you accept that. Yes, I'm a fool. Before the spiritual master. Not that we act foolishly or do something stupid. But Krishna says, you give up all your other varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I'm a great pundit in these different varieties of religion. I'm a great scholar in this, that and the other. And I'm so advanced on this platform of religion. No. You're a fool. Put them aside and just take shelter of me. Now, unless one comes to that platform, sometimes Prabhupada Saraswati, he would preach on that platform. My dear sir, you have so many wonderful, madam, you have so many wonderful qualifications. You're so intelligent, so many good qualities. You're so learned, so advanced in your religious principles. Let me just ask you one little thing. Everything that you know, forget it. And just take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Now, it's a great impediment if one cannot become a fool before Krishna, that he knows something better than we do. And the spiritual master representing Krishna, then we may never take up that process of chanting Hare Krishna. Nor can we make advancement on the platform of anything else except, the only qualification to advance in Krishna consciousness is that sincerity and seriousness. Be humble and and follow the instructions of the spiritual master. If one does that, Krishna, the super soul, who's prepared to personally come before his devotees, is so friendly, he will speak to one within the heart. One time, Srila Prabhupada was he was with some disciples, and like a reporter was asking Prabhupada questions, trying to, you know, sort of work out what gives you the right to think that you're so big that you can run this movement and tell everyone what to do. His questions were sort of getting at that, although he was hiding it, you know, is that envy. Anyway, it comes down to, you know, he was saying that, how do you know what to do? And he says, you know, Krishna tells him. And so even his disciples are saying, they started talking to the reporter, oh, so what Prabhupada actually means is that, you know, coming in the disciplic succession, you take, you know, knowledge from the spiritual master, and it comes down through the books and everything. And somebody did. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna tells me directly. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. He'll talk to you. You'll hear it within your heart. You know, just like Prabhupada would say, if there's ever a doubt, don't do it. That's the super soul speaking to you. If you have a really strong doubt about something, you don't do it. That's the super soul. Yeah. So, you know, if a person, their only desire is to serve Krishna and there's no other motive there, they can hear Krishna very clearly. And if they're 24 hours engaged, there's no static, there's no interference. You can understand exactly what Krishna wants you to do. He will talk to you in so many different ways. Through his books, through the spiritual master, within the heart, you know, within the material energy, so many different ways. They're the only qualities. And Krishna will directly, he will personally direct you all the way back to Godhead. So no other qualification is needed. Sincerity, seriousness, little humility, follow the instructions of the spiritual master who's teaching the Bhagavad Gita, and your life will become perfect. And chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
How can we become a Prithumanat?
You want to become like Prithu Maharaj?
Yes.
In what way? In what way?
After all that he heard in the class.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, becoming like, just like, you know, we want to become like, it's good. It's actually good aspiration to want to be like great personalities. That's good. You know, for instance, Srila Prabhupada would say that, you know, the children born in our movement, you see them, they imitate all the adults. So all the adults dance, the adults chant, you know, the adults, you know, listen to Krishna. So the little children do the same. Because they want to be like the adults. That's natural. You know, if someone's, you see that they're happy and, you know, they're, you admire what they're doing and they're not doing all sorts of poor, then little children want to be like their mum and dad and their uncles and aunties. So that's natural. And Prabhupada says that whether it be imitation or fact makes no difference. They get the same result. So, you know, for us, you know, we want to be like these great personalities, Prithu Maharaj, Queen Kunti, Draupadi, Arjun, Prabhupada. If you want to be like that and you have that anxiety to be like that, that's good. That sort of desire would, you know, is very rare. So somewhere you purchase that. Where did you get that? If you have that desire to be like such a person, that's good. Then you be like his personality, so very pleasing to the Lord. That desire we want, that anxiety. If you have that, then your life is perfect. And that is the price. That is the only price, is just to have that desire. That's the quality. If you have that desire, you'll make spiritual advancement to that level by the grace of Krishna. Yeah. You become a pure devotee, eligible to go back to the spiritual world, or Krishna may, you know, pop you in a universe somewhere and, you know, empower you to deliver millions of people. You know, if you become qualified to go back to the spiritual world, Krishna may also get you to do a little preaching for you then. So, you know, but that is the only price, is to have that desire. So, you know, it's so how do we? You know, we maintain that desire, chant Hare Krishna, you know, and avoid all the impious activities, and you know, humbly follow the spiritual master. That's how we do.
Thank you, Bob, for the wonderful class. I was wondering about, you know, we have the situations where we have the Kartik month where you have a lot of vows and there's a lot of anxiety to fulfill those vows, or where you have the book distribution marathon where you have a lot of anxiety about how you can distribute more books. But then there's like an there's like a finish line, you know, like the marathon finishes at this date and the Kartik finishes on this date. And once it finishes, then it's kind of like, you know, you just kind of run out of steam a little bit, you know, you kind of tend to relax a little bit. And this, in a way, you don't have the same anxiety anymore to go out and preach or really work on your sadhana to advance. So if you're talking about maintaining that anxiety for like the rest of your life, or you know, continue on with that same pushing, how do we go about doing it? Or is it even possible to do it all the way?
Yeah, so you know, that's Srila Prabhupada quoting Srila Rupa Goswami, that you know, we can't artificially, it's not possible to artificially, you know, imitate that. You know, imitation, even with little children, they can imitate for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes and they go out and play and forget. But they make some benefit at least while they're doing it. But they can't do it all day, because that takes a different level of, you know, spiritual qualification, that strong desire, you know. You see, Jiva Goswami, he was a little child. And he wanted to do what he saw Rupa and Sanatana doing. But even as a 5-year-old child, you know, Sankaracharya took sannyas at the age of 5, I think, 5 or 10, isn't it? Yeah. You know, that desire, you know, so basically, that, you know, it shows you that, you know, amongst, you know, many, many devotees in the world, you know, none of us can imitate, you know, advancements which is above what we've qualified for. And, you know, that qualification is a result of what we may have done in previous lives and what we do now. So, but if we associate with devotees whose strong desire, you know, enthusiasm, that burning anxiety for love of God is always present, if we associate with them, then it's, you know, they carry it. You know, and Prabhupada gives the example. That's why we hang on to Guru, you know, because he gives the example that if a car is driving down the road, and then sometimes a bicycle. And I can picture Prabhupada doing this, he's giving this example. I wouldn't be surprised if he has done this himself. You grab onto the back of the car, and then you have the same speed and energy as the car. Even though you know your little legs can only go so far, right now you're not even having the pedal. Actually, you're hardly doing anything because you've got that momentum. So, we may not have, we can't imitate that. No, that's what Rupa Goswami says. Oh, I have too much anxiety, said Krishna. We cannot imitate. But if we want to maintain it, then we just stay in the association of devotees who do have that, more than us. We may not always. So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura, he would say that you serve because there's two ways to associate with devotees. One is, you hear from them, and one is to serve them. So you serve and associate with the. We may not always have the association of very advanced devotees, but you can still hear them. Just like Srila Prabhupada. We can, and one of the things I've been doing for 40 years, even before I joined the movement, when I found the Gita, I'd never met a devotee, I didn't really even know there was a movement. So I found the Gita, and what I'd do is I'd open up the page, and I'd read it, and I'd get this enthusiasm on that spiritual platform, and then as the day went on, if it felt somehow materially drained, then I would open up the page again and I would read another page, and then again I feel that. And on Sankirtan, when I was on Sankirtan, I used to always take the Bhagavad Gita, and I'd always, so if I felt a little bit, just a little flat spiritually, then I would read the Gita. Prabhupada says you do this. Because when we feel that my enthusiasm is not, burning like I'd like it to be, he says you read one sloka, you chant one grand of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you have one piece of prasad. Oh, it's powerful. And so, reading one verse in Prabhupada's purport, you associate with Srila Prabhupada. And chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you associate with Krishna, Srimad Radharani. One piece of prasadam, just to top it off. It's very powerful. Very simple. But it works. So, to associate, to always associate with Krishna and his devotees. So associated with Krishna is like that, a verse in the Gita, Hare Krishna, Vishnu, associated with Krishna's head. That's how Krishna descends, that's the presence of Krishna. And, if the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, non-different from Krishna. A lot of temples in India, they have the scripture on the altar, they worship. Sometimes if I have to do a ceremony, I don't have my shalagram, I just put the Bhagavad Gita there and I'll offer worship. It's Krishna, Arjuna, the perfect and present. So just as, what Prabhupada has taught us is that just as, Lord Vishnu appeared in this Jagannatha Maharaj, we should understand that Krishna is doing that for us. There is no spiritual impediment. All that this happened, so long in the past for someone like Prithi Maharaj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Vishnu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he just sees there's a strong desire, he will be there. He will manifest himself in the form of his teachings, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And manifest himself by sending some nice association, prasadam, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you speak within the heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be there. There's one quite, I'm not sure exactly. Otherwise, that, you know, you keep chanting, one day you turn around, you see Lord Chaitanya there. Actually, wherever there's kirtan, you know, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherever this Hare Krishna kirtan is going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. But if we're above the modes of material nature, we'll see him. We'll feel his presence. Feeling the presence of the personality of Godhead is another form of seeing. See, for the soul, like Krishna, you know, we have this tendency to think that unless I see with these eyeballs, I've not seen. But on the level of the soul, like, you know, the gopis in Vrindavan, feeling separation from Krishna, they are seeing Krishna. And Krishna is present in that love and separation. He's fully present. So, first we have to understand what seeing is. But on the spiritual platform, Vishuddhisattva, and there's no presence of the modes of material nature that we're just always 24 hours engaged, you see Krishna. And as Prabhupada said one time in his lecture, you feel his presence. That's another way of seeing. You feel it. You feel his presence. So, for instance, a little Sankirtan story to explain that. One time, doing a marathon, we used to do marathons, we used to do a lot, we used to do about 4 or 5, it's not 6, 7 a year, marathons. Now we have 1 a year, but you'd finish your marathon and the next one would come. But we were doing the Christmas marathon. I was here in Melbourne and I was going out with Charles Sheila, who's a Prabhupada disciple. And, you know, there's that competition. When you associate with devotees, there's that competition that who's got the most enthusiasm to serve Krishna, which is beneficial because you're sort of helping each other advance. It's not an envy. You want to see the other person who has more enthusiasm. But if they think that they've got enough, you think, oh, that's not enough, so you do more. And they say, now, can you do more? It's not, you know, just like, you know, I will be the first one to touch Krishna's lotus feet. We used to go out on Sankirtan like that. No, I will be the first one to touch Krishna's lotus feet like that. So it's loving. So anyway, we were going neck and neck, trying to win the marathon. Winning the marathon means that, you know, we just want to literally, we're helping each other just to the maximum that's possible, you know, for myself, a wretched soul, to do something wonderful, you know, for this movement, you know, and distribute so many books or collect. In those days, a lot of times what we had to do is collect the money and then gradually distribute the books. So we would collect the money. We were going like hotel to hotel, you know, up and down, you know, Brunswick and, you know, this one and that one, all the pubs and, you know, anyway. So anyway, mostly pubs because especially at night time, at the end of the day, that's all that's open. So anyway, I got really ill. And I got so ill that I was almost unconscious. He'd stop the car and I'd say, oh, he's getting out, he's going to try and beat me. And he'd say, go back to the temple, you're sick. You know, I had this fever, gradually I was losing my ability to speak, and massive headaches, it was just like this. My body was just aching from end to toe. And I thought, no, you're not going to do that to me, you're going to send me back to the temple. So, we have saved this last factory. There's probably, I don't know, 400 or 500 people there or something. It's massive. And we knew, because we'd asked them, we kept this, whatever you could do so that, you know, you get right up to the last part of the day before Christmas, everything's shut, but there's something open, then we've got something. So we saved them to last. And this was a big one, and they all were getting their Christmas pay that day. We were selling candles. So we kept this. So we pulled up. And at this stage, I literally, I actually couldn't speak. I was so ill, I couldn't make a noise with my mouth. There was so much pain in my head. And, I was worried how I'd even carry a box of candles in there. And I sat in the car and I thought, he went in. I thought, no, we're neck and neck, And I thought, no, Krishna, spiritual life is supposed to be without impediment. Help me. I'm going in. I said, Krishna, you have to do everything because all I can do is get in that door. That's it. From there you take over. So I grabbed the box of candles and I walked in. I put them on the table. I couldn't speak. Someone turned around. Oh, are those, Hawaiian candles? I nodded. Now today, $20? Give us a red one. So he bought one. I actually won that marathon.
Nice.
I went in there and cleaned up and I never spoke a word. Never said a word. Couldn't say a word. And I tell you, I felt the presence of Lord Chaitanya on that day in Srila Prabhupada. And I knew he was there. Srila Prabhupada, Mahatma ki jai.
Gangeshwar Prabhu, as you were saying, you feel the presence of Lord when you are chanting. That's why we sing, Jahan Prabhu ke naam ka hota hai gunagan, wahi Ayodhya Dwarka, wahi bhi rama. Wherever there is chanting going on, Lord is there, Lord Hanuman is there, and everything is there.
That's right. That's right. Krishna is there, yeah. That's exactly right. And Shastri, evidence. Thank you.
We see that Prithu Maharaj could not do the 100th sacrifice, but nevertheless, you have done 100 sacrifices every 2 years, probably. and as a Kiskar as a whole, in the last 50 years, we must have done 50,000 Sankirtan
left,
yes. So how is it that we are so insignificant
when
we are able to do so much?
Say that last part again.
How come we are so insignificant compared to Prithu Maharaj, but we are able to do so many sacrifices, and Prithu Maharaj could not do even 100 sacrifices?
Yeah, the principle is that, Prithu Maharaj, he did so much, but he never felt that he was significant. Prithu Maharaj always, he never became proud of his activities, and therefore he was able to do so much. And as long as we remain, an insignificant fool, then whatever Krishna and the spiritual master allow us to do, it may be, so many wonderful things. That is the glory of the spiritual master and of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, our goal is not to be significant in any way on the material platform or the spiritual platform. Our goal is just to be able to chant the holy name, with sincerely, with love, and to associate with the devotees and do a little service. That's our only goal. Significance on any platform we're not striving for.
Just a quick point on that, seeing God. In the third canto of Brahma's prayers for creative energy, there's one verse where he said, Kutekshita Patho, that God, Krishna can be seen through the eyes of the ears.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We see through the ears. Exactly right. So, seeing on the spiritual platform can be done with a variety of different senses the spirit soul has. They can feel the presence of the Lord. They can hear and see the presence of the Lord. So seeing on the spiritual platform is different than seeing on the material platform. So in this lifetime, you can see the personality of Godhead. The soul can see and feel the presence that they're here. Krishna is here. My Guru Maharaj is here. Actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he sent his disciples to preach in the West, he said, you know, you should see everything as the mercy of the spiritual master. Whatever happens to you in life, you just say, this is the mercy of my spiritual master. Everything. That is seeing the spiritual master everywhere. So we can see the spiritual master everywhere, we can see Krishna everywhere. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premananda.